welcome everyone to Live with the Infidel Guy. I'm your host, Reggie Finlay. 8:03 p.m. Man, it is a hot day today. Took the kids out to the park and we threw planes around and whatnot. And it's hot. I mean, it is really, really hot. Air conditioning is not even working too well. I'll tell you what, I just can't wait till, I don't know, when God arrives and whisk me away as something so I can be comfortable forever. Okay, just kidding, it's not going to happen. All right, anyway, welcome to the program, everyone. Of course, you know, I'm the Infidel Guy, and you can, of course, check out the website at Infidel Guy. Also, that is infidelguy.com. Net or org, also freethoughtmedia.com, and you can join us in the chat room, and of course if you have any questions you can just pass those on through me to our guest this evening by typing those in red, and you can also call in toll free, so make sure you write down this number, 888-503-0802, and Brian in the chat room will be posting that number periodically for you guys, so don't give him a hard time, okay? This is kind of like what he's been doing for many years now, and it actually helps me out a lot when he posts that number. And it also helps new people who aren't very familiar with the program. Now, our guest this evening is Mark Perkel, and he is the founder of the Church of Reality. Isn't that interesting? Church of Reality. It sounds like an oxymoron almost, doesn't it? He's appearing on a program to discuss what he calls his religion of realism. And you can check out the website at churchofreality.org. Welcome to the program, Mark Perkel.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great.
Okay, well, the Church of Reality, I'm pretty sure you get a dozen questions about what the heck does this mean. But tell us about the Church of Reality. What is that all about?
The Church of Reality is a religion that believes in everything that's real. And of all the thousands of religions that there are out there, I thought that reality should be at least one of the choices. So I created a religion based on not only believing in everything that's real, but evangelizing reality to bring reality into the lives of as many people as possible.
Oh, okay. Wow, this definitely sounds like religion to me.
Yep.
Okay, now, tons of questions here. Number one, well, what is real? I mean, what do you mean Church of Reality? I mean, some people might not even, of course, you know, there are debates about that. Now, how do we know what is real? We might be in a matrix.
We don't. The Church of Reality is about the exploration of reality, and what is real is the sacred question of the Church of Reality. That is what we are here to do. This is our mission in life, is to explore reality and figure out what is real.
Well, some religious groups might say this is in some way some type of affront to them, as if you're trying to say, well, they're not real. If it's really just an exploration of reality, well, they believe they have reality too, so their religions are just as real as your religion, they would say, right?
Well, that would be fine if they said it, and it would be great if they debated it, and in fact, it would be the mission of the Church of Reality to cause them to have that conversation. Because if what they believe actually is real, then we will believe what they believe, because we believe in what's real. So if they can prove that, you know, God exists or Jesus exists or Allah is right, you know, then all us realists become theists and believe in Jesus, you know. But until the proof is there, then, you know, we stick with reality, wherever that leads.
And that's the interesting journey. But why call it a religion?
The reason that we call it religion is because it's a choice. Some people choose reality, some people choose fiction. And fictional religions are religious choices. It's what you choose to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
The Church of Reality is about people who choose to believe in reality. Now, I know that, you know, that sounds pretty obvious to, you know, most of your audience out there, because,
right,
you know, it's
right.
Like, well, reality, you know, you don't get anywhere real than that. But when you look at who's president, what's going on in the world these days, you can see that America has turned its back on reality. And it's time, you know, to bring, you know, the nation back to, you know, believers in reality the way it really is.
That's intriguing, because that's so interesting. Then the Church of Reality would hit so many different facets of our existence today, not just some, you know, narrow-minded theological, or I shall say, as we are more familiar with narrow-minded theological perspectives. I mean, since this is all about reality, I mean, you guys are examining every single, anything and everything that people try to claim is real and stuff like that. So it sounds like a skeptic, an active skeptics type of group kind of thing, too.
Well, we are a doubt-based religion.
Mm-hmm.
So scrutiny and skepticism is part of what we do. It's what we call the purification of truth. Truth is purified by submitting it to doubt and skepticism, and then when it passes the test, then it becomes even more true because it's truth that's been tested.
Right. Now come on, Mark. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, now some would say, Mark, now come on. You're just really doing this for marketing sake. Come on, Church of Reality. I mean, come on, let's get real here. I mean, Church of Reality? It's just like you're just trying to really just, you know that people are drawn toward that title of church, and that's why you want to check it out. I mean, why church? It's all virtual, right? Or do you have a physical location?
It's all virtual.
Yeah.
I hope to have physical locations eventually.
Wow.
You know. I mean, and seriously, you know, I hope to make this into, you know, a major religion, you know, to be an alternative to all the fiction-based religions.
That is intriguing. Yeah, because I can see how it would add an added social aspect to a lot of people who doubt. Because as you know, traditionally, skeptics and infidels, etc., we don't really have that social aspect of our, you know, we don't have that community thing that we see a lot of your traditional religious groups have.
That's so exactly that, right, you
yeah.
know, and the Church of Reality has to eventually provide that sort of community and do mm-hmm. the same things that the churches do, you know, to provide a support network, to provide community, to provide, you know, somebody to do weddings and funerals, and you know, bereavement counseling and all the things that churches do now, because churches have more than one aspect to them. Part of it is, of course, you know, the dogma.
Uh-oh.
And then the other part is the community.
Mm-hmm.
So that needs to be addressed at some point.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask you about. So what philosophy, shall I say, for moral life, moral living, does the Church of Reality foster or promote?
Well, basically, we've adopted humanism as the suggested lifestyle form. The
right.
humanists seem to have done a very good job of exploring that so far, and why
mm-hmm.
reinvent the wheel. As far as morality goes, morality is basically relative to the assumptions that you make. And in the Church of Reality, our assumptions are that we're real, we exist, and that we want to understand our reality and progress. In order to do that, we have to have, the human race has to evolve forward. So one of our sacred principles is the principle of positive evolution. And the principle of positive evolution sort of lays the groundwork for what is right and wrong and creates a basis for morality in the Church of Reality.
Hmm. Okay. We already got a slew of questions already in the chat room already. People are asking, basically, let me start with one I think is quite interesting here. Clarky in the chat room says, how does the Church of Reality compare with objectivism?
I'm not that familiar with objectivism. I've heard of it, but I haven't really studied it. I really don't know enough to make an answer other than there's a lot of similarities mm-hmm. and a lot of overlap.
Right, right. Quite possibly, maybe we can get someone who's a little versed in objectivism to call in, and we can maybe do some comparisons and see if it's similar.
Okay.
We have another question here, too. AI says, will there be singing of hymns in the Church of Reality?
I suppose that they eventually will. I want somebody to write a version of, you know, oh, what a friend we have in Darwin, you know, something like that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, okay, in the chat room, one guy said, but why substitute one religion for the other? I mean, that's pretty much, it's kind of like, I mean, what's the purpose? I mean, why do you think it's necessary to establish such a movement when there are so many others?
Well, the reason is to give a religious identity to people who believe in reality.
So you think that's important?
Well, it seems to be in the way society works is, you know, everybody wants to know, what are you, you know? And if you say you're an atheist, then that doesn't really say what you do believe in. It says what you don't believe in.
True.
And, you know, when you say you're a realist and you have, you know, a church of reality, then that creates, you know, an identity. You know, you can say, well, this is what I am, and if the church of reality name gets out there enough, then people will have heard of that, and they'll understand it. They'll know that, you know, what that is, you know, so that you can, when, you know, it might even be a checkbox on one of the forms, you know, when they ask you what your religion is at some point, you know. And you can say, I'm a realist. I believe in reality the way it really is.
Yeah, I can imagine it's, I'm pretty sure not many people, I'm pretty sure some people do take it seriously, but you can imagine that quite a number of the listeners tonight won't really take it too seriously. And of course, when you think about it, you have other organizations too, like, you know, the Church of Subgenius and stuff like that, that you could possibly get categorized, you know, with just one of these types of groups. Like, oh, he's not serious. Come on, Church of Reality. Come, do we really need a church for that? I mean, it's an obvious joke.
Well, no, it's not an obvious joke because, you see, it becomes competitive in the world of religious ideas. You know, one thing is about a lot of the other religions is they're trying to spread themselves. They're trying to get power, you know, political power and mind space, you know, and win souls over, you know, for Jesus. And what we want to do is win souls over for reality. We want people to talk about reality, to think about reality. You know, because every time you discuss reality, the word reality actually has healing power. So it's kind of like an antivirus program for your mind.
Right.
And every time somebody thinks about reality, it brings them back from the cult mind, you know, back into the real world.
And, I wish,
you know,
that were true.
I believe it does, you know, to a certain extent, you know, because, you know, a lot of people that, you know, reality is just not part of their existence.
They don't think about it.
They don't consider it. They don't make it important.
Right. That's true in so many ways, especially when I've debated quite a number of people on religious issues. You're right. When you try to really get them to see what I guess one could argue really, you know, my reality or someone else's reality or general reality, they will resort to faith, as if faith conquers reality, which is like, what? How is that even possible? So,
it gives people a way to compare, you know, their you know, their religion to reality. You know,
that's,
you ask people, well, would you believe in Jesus, you know, if Jesus weren't real?
That's a very good point. I like that. You're right. Because they need faith as an antithesis, really, to reality, right? Because without it, obviously, that Jesus wouldn't exist, because reality doesn't show that these myths are true. Reality shows the opposite.
Yeah, reality is that stuff that doesn't go away when you stop believing in it.
right. 888-503-0802. You're listening to Live with the Infidel Guy and Mark Perkel, founder of the Church of Reality at churchofreality.org. Another question in the chat room here. I don't think that's what he said. Oh, that's right, you did say that. Clarky asks, man, they got... Okay, let me back up. There's a lot of questions here. One question is your church right now tax exempt?
It isn't at this point. It's in. I have an application in. In fact, the application has been sitting at the IRS for almost 2 years now.
What?
Yeah. At the first level, it normally takes 3 months to do this, apparently they got confused at the first level, you know, so they neither approved it or rejected it. They kicked it up, you know, to the higher level.
I'm pretty sure.
And at the higher level, they haven't gotten around to it yet because I talked to the IRS guy, and the IRS is as screwed up as it has ever been in this guy's 30-year career. You know, all his, you know, the staff is working on terrorist stuff, and he doesn't have enough people there, you know, to process the applications that are in his department.
Oh, wow.
So
actually, they're helping suppress churches. No, just kidding. Yeah, but getting their status, that's a darn shame. But also, I was thinking, yeah, they might be looking at it like, wait a minute, doubt-based? You know, and when they see it come in, they go, wait a minute, is this a non-profit business, or is this a real, you know, a church?
Well, so. they're skeptical of internet-based religion, so that's part of it.
Right.
And part of it is, you know, I mean, if I had a brick-and-mortar building and I had people showing up on Sunday, you know, doing whatever, you know, it would be something that they would feel more comfortable with. And, so they haven't really, you know, raised any red flags about the belief system. You know, technically they don't care. They haven't really asked much of anything other than we have one. And in fact, a lot of the IRS questions were the inspiration behind, you know, a lot of the material that I have on the website now, because they asked some really good questions, and I had to come up with some really good answers, you know. And in the process of doing that, it really advanced the Church of Reality quite a bit, you know. So I got to admit that the IRS has done the Church of Reality a lot of good.
That's pretty
cool.
You
know, even so far, just through the process of having to go through the forms.
Right. Well, we got a first caller here. Hello, you're on the air.
All righty, it's Timothy.
Hi, Tim.
Mr. Perkle, is it?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very impressed by your idea and the title of the church. I think it's an excellent idea. In fact, whereas I think the Brights movement got off to a very bad start, I think what you're doing has a lot of potential.
I think so, too.
But the question that strikes me is, since you are talking about the social aspect and all of those things, in other words, you're addressing the reality of the human condition, I would like to ask you, if a person says, if I join my church, will it make me happy? And if so, how?
Wow.
How would you answer that? And I'll take the answer off the air. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good question.
That's an interesting question. I have no idea whether it would make you happy. I can't help but to think that, you know, reality is better than fiction.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, but,
so
but some people are happier with their fiction. You know,
right.
it's hard to say. You know, the Church of Reality obviously has no guarantees of happiness.
I think that's a very important point that you brought up right now. And I think that's what people, you know, should know is what you just said. But also, because you mentioned humanism earlier. And so we can talk about how improving the human condition, you know, how understanding and learning more about each other can make this world a better place. I think that'd be a good place to start. But then also point out that no religion guarantees happiness either. They might think there is one in the afterlife, but in this life, you don't see it. I mean, so.
Well, no. A lot of the religions make claims about happiness. They say that once, you know, you get to have Jesus in your heart, you're going
to
be happy.
Yeah, that's what they're supposed to
you
say
know?
That. Yeah.
And, you know, of course, you know, in a lot of cases they're lying, you know. In some cases they were. People get Jesus and they're happy.
That's
you know?
True.
I can't make those false claims. You know, I don't have an afterlife to offer. I don't have, you know, hell to threaten you with, you know. You know, on the other hand, you know, I don't have as many, you know, sins, you know, that you have to, you know, give up stuff in this life in order to, you know, have a better life next time, you know, so I can, you know, give you a better result right here and now than they can. But, you know, ultimately, you know, it's about what's real, you know, and your life is whatever you make of it, you know, so hopefully that when somebody gets in touch, you know, with reality, and they start thinking, you know, about, you know, where they are realistically, that they'll make the kind of choices that make them happy.
Indeed. Let's take this next call here. And I'll follow up more on that in a minute. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is CBT from the chat room. I was wanting to know what it takes to join the Church of Reality. Does one have to be baptized? And what practices does one need to carry out on a regular basis? Is there a church that we meet and stuff like that? Elaborate on that.
Right, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
What kind of practices?
So, you know, basically, if you sign up, you know, on the mailing list, you're a member as far as I'm concerned.
sounds easy to me. Well, that's the
you know,
easiest membership.
Yeah, you know, and if you're inspired, you know, doing things like, you know, linking to the Church of Reality website, you know, thinking
right.
about reality, talking to people about reality. But there isn't any type of, you know, ceremony or baptism or fees or anything involved in the Church of Reality. This is just about spreading, you know, that reality is something that's important and that, you know, people should consider it as an alternative religion.
Right. You haven't taken up any offerings yet on the website?
you know, if somebody wants to make a donation, well, we're more than happy to spend it.
Understood. Now, this is related to the question by the previous caller before the one that just called in here, but, you know, besides your own personal belief that reality is better, I mean, if someone were to ask you, because, you know, a common question that we get often, as you know, as non-believers, is what do you have to offer me that can replace what I believe in now or better than what I have? So what can realism, because I'm sure you had to think about this, and you kind of mentioned a little bit of it before, but what can realism offer someone, though, to make their lives better? I'm not trying to say it will, but what can it offer?
Well, Here's the thing about realism is that if you, we have a limited existence. We're here for a very short time and we're gone. You know, if there's an afterlife, there sure isn't any evidence of it, you know. So the presumption is that, you know, we exist for a short period of time and then we're gone, you know. So what are you going to do in your short period of time that you're here, you know? And it seems to me like you wouldn't want to waste, you know, your entire existence on fiction. That you would want to at least experience reality the way it really is. Hmm. And that's what we have to offer, is reality the way it really is. You know, for whatever it is, it's real, this is what's really here, and make the best of it.
And it's unfortunate that, again, you know, some people just wouldn't look at it that way. Again, I mean, their religion to them is real to them, so... and they're right, they're probably Christian listeners right now, and maybe Muslim listeners right now, thinking, hey, I'm with you, brother. I'm all about realism. That's why I'm in the faith I'm in. So, yeah, I can see how that'd be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if you probably will get a lot of Christian members.
Well, hey, you know, the idea of the Church of Reality, and you're right, you know, that the name is a marketing name.
Right.
I chose that name specifically because the name itself basically says that this is religion about believing in what's real. It is, you know, raises the sacred question, what is real?
Yeah.
So I want Christians who are listening to ask themselves about reality. You know, I want, you know, if they believe that Christianity is real, then, you know, they should think about that. You know, they should, you know, look at the Bible and wonder, well, why is there so many contradictions in the Bible? Why doesn't this make sense? You know, why don't the authors of the Bible seem to understand that the world is more than 7,000 years old?
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
And when you look at, you know, because, you know, anytime, you know, Christians think about reality, it makes Christians better people, I think.
Hmm.
And that's one of the things that the Church of Reality is trying to do, is to make everybody a better person, because, you know, the social network of the world is important to the Church of Reality, because in for order for us to explore reality, we explore reality together as a society. You know, a person doesn't build a Hubble telescope in their backyard and launch it into space to explore the universe. This is something that involves, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. In order to do that, you know, we have to have a society that works.
That's
and the
a good
better
point.
It works, the more that we can evolve in the positive direction, you know, evolution, and move forward and understand more about the reality that we live in.
That's interesting. That's a very good point. You're right. Obviously, and I think we've talked about this in the past on the program, but right, human beings need something that's stable. I mean, we need to be able to look at the world and know what's commonplace. We need to discover and understand, you know, the regularities in the universe, for that allows us to invent and be innovative and improve ourselves. And without those things, it's kind of hard to function in the world. And right, I think that's what kind of like what real is, by the way, I guess, is you know, commonality, science, you know, you name it, I guess. But then again, but somebody asked something that's philosophical, but it really doesn't really matter, because I like what you were saying. You said the whole purpose really is to explore what reality is, and trying to discover it and understand it. I think it's very important. But one guy said, how do you know if we're not all in the matrix? So we could all be wrong. But that doesn't really matter, because, as you're saying, well, we probably are, but we're exploring. And I think that's a really good point.
It's a legitimate question. I ask myself that every day, you know, especially when, you know, I'm the guy who's, you know, the founder of the Church of Reality, you know.
Right.
If anything, if that isn't a message that this is fake, I don't know what is. You know, it's the Matrix movie is a personal message to me. But
right.
I'm going to have to assume that I'm not dreaming this all, so I'm going to go ahead and pursue the exploration of reality, because it just seems like that's the thing to do. One of the things that's unique about the Church of Reality that we bring to the table is we have this concept called the Tree of Knowledge. And I ripped off, you know, the word Tree of Knowledge from other religions. But in the Church of Reality, the Tree of Knowledge represents the sum total of all human understanding. And that's what makes us different from the animals, is that we are able to share knowledge, you know, in a very sophisticated way between individuals, and preserve things that an individual learns and communicate that to other people. And our current evolution is now through the Tree of Knowledge, that we are all connected together through the Tree of Knowledge. You know, we have all this technology that we all share. We have language. The fact that I'm talking and other people are listening is all based on this common knowledge that we have. You know, that the words that we used to think to ourselves in comes from other people. So the humanity is completely interconnected, you know, like a hive of bees, you know, in a way that is almost disturbing to think about.
Right.
And so we have this tree of knowledge, and this tree of knowledge is growing. And the difference between humanity today and humanity 300 years ago is that we are now able to fly and we can talk, you know, long distances, all because of the tree of knowledge, which is growing. So one of the things about the Church of Reality is the Church of Reality is all about, you know, cleaning and protecting and growing the tree of knowledge.
Right. I mean, earlier I gave a kind of a very poor explanation of what reality is. What do you think is, what is reality?
Well, that's an interesting question. That's our sacred question. And, you know, I don't know the reason why reality even exists. I don't know why there is something rather than nothing. I sort of have an idea, you know, that 15 billion years ago, that something that we crudely describe as the Big Bang occurred, in which time and space were created, and 15 billion years later, you know, here we are, you know, talking about it.
Right.
You know, we're on this little speck of dust in the universe that's orbiting a star. You know, there's trillions of other planets that are just like us. You know, there probably is life on other planets, but, you know, for all I know, we may be all there is. You know, we don't know if there's life on other planets or not. You know, we could say that it's most likely that we're not that unique, but we don't know. So, right. You know, we're sitting here on this ball spinning around this star, you know, wondering about, you know, why we're here and why anything exists and what there is out there. Now, we're better off than we were 5,000 years ago, because 5,000 years ago, you know, the world was flat. And, you know, up and down were absolute directions, you know, and now we understand that we're, you know, orbiting a sun, we're part of a galaxy, there's trillions of galaxies, and there's the Big Bang. You know, in the future, 100, 200 years from now, if we continue to evolve forward, we're going to have a deeper understanding of that.
Right.
You know, and who we are today, you know, we do have a little bit of immortality in that, you know, that what we do here in this reality affects the future. And if we, you know, Albert Einstein, you know, still lives with us today because he discovered relativity, you know. So Albert Einstein has an existence within the Tree of Knowledge. And other important people have existence, you know, in the Tree of Knowledge. And if we, you know, accomplish great things, you know, we can at least have, you know, what we did, you know, be a contribution that lives beyond our years, you know. So we have the possibility of a little bit of immortality beyond just pure genetics.
Right.
And if we try real hard to develop technology, we might, you know, develop the technology that ends, you know, aging and death, you know, in our lifetime, you know. So, mm-hmm. You know, we may not be that far away from that. So, you know, there is a possibility of immortality if we spend the money to develop the technology to make that happen.
Right.
But, you know, but this is reality, and we're just trying to figure it out. We wonder about this sort of thing. And any time that we discuss reality, we all become real in the sacred moment, you know, which is now. And it causes your brain to basically reprogram itself, you know, toward reality and think about things about, you know, what's really real, you know. So I
right.
believe that it improves society just to say the word.
Interesting. Yeah, it reminds me again of religious claims. Well, Church of Reality is religion, but your more orthodox traditional religions, their claim, of course, again, they believe they have the ultimate reality, or that they know of the ultimate reality and how to get there. And so I guess it's kind of difficult. I can see how a believer, of course, would have difficulty with, obviously, should I say a Christian believer would have difficulty with the Church of Realities because, well, I know where I'm going. You don't know where you're going. I heard you on Infidel Guy show. You said you don't know. See, I know. God did it. So it's kind of like, it's kind of hard. I mean, so what is this, how can I word this, designed for? You said those interested in reality and stuff like that, but what about, like, reaching out? What about activism? as far as trying to maybe get people to understand what reality is, if that's even possible. I mean,
well, in fact, activism is one of our sacred principles. We have the sacred principle of activism, which means that, you know, we're supposed to reach out and inspire people to think about reality.
Yeah, true. But see, again, you see the loop, though, right? It's kind of like, well, they already think they know what reality is, and it's their religion.
Well, but the thing is, it's one thing to claim that you know what reality is. It's a different thing to actually know. In order to know reality, you have to put it through the tests. You have to question it. You have to put it to scrutiny. It has to be accountable. And if it passes the test, then it's real. If it's something that you can only believe in if you suspend logic and you're not allowed to question it, then you know it's not real. It's a fraud. In order to believe in some of the things that religions believe in, they have to suspend logic in order to do it, because if they think about it, it doesn't hold up. You know, I mean, I would ask, like to ask all the believers out there, why is God hiding? Why doesn't God come out in the open? If God comes out into the open,
he does,
into objective reality, then all us realists will believe in him.
But see, that's the problem. He does. I mean, we've all seen the image of the Virgin Mary on a grilled cheese sandwich. I mean,
yeah, but I want to see God show up and do an interview on Larry King Live, you know. You know, and I want to see him take questions, you know, from the audience, you know, and call in and answer some of the questions about which one of the 10,000 denominations of Christianity has it right.
Yeah, he's got a lot of...
Because the thing is even if you're a Christian, how do you know that you're the one in 10,000 or 30,000 or how many other denominations that has it right? You know, you're most likely have it wrong. So even if you say you're a Christian, you know, the thing that's common about every Christian I've ever met is every one of them is a true Christian. You know what I mean?
Yep, that's true.
And so you know, as far as I'm concerned, they're all true Christians: Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Catholics, Baptists, all of them. But the thing is that they believe opposite things, you know. So the question is then, you know, even amongst Christians, which form of Christianity is real? And if I can get Christians to think about that, then I've made a huge amount of progress.
Interesting. It sounds like there's going to be nothing left, though, because if you don't really know, I mean, you said the test, but you even conceded that we could possibly be in a matrix, and you can't disprove that we're in a matrix. So you don't really know what's real either. I'm just saying, this is what they would say. You don't really know what's real either. So are you trying to basically do is tear us down, but you're not giving us anything back. You want to dump all of our religion on this blind search to nowhere.
I'm not claiming that we know what's real. The Church of Reality isn't about knowing what's real. The Church of Reality is about pursuing what's real. It's a religious commitment to the pursuit of reality.
And they already have it. But okay. We got a caller. Let's see. Maybe he can shed some light on this as well. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, this is CVT. I was wanting to know, like, the Catholic Church has strong views, as well as other churches, about issues like abortion and birth control and death penalty, same-sex marriages, and the governments and the environment and war. Where does your church stand on all these issues?
Wow, a lot of issues to cover.
How do you decide what's right and wrong, you know, I mean, or do you, you know?
Okay, I think that's a very valid question.
It is a good question.
Thanks, EBT.
And we don't have position on all this, but I can tell you on some of them. On peace and war, we're strictly, you know, on the side of peace. One of the things that we believe in the Church of Reality is that sometimes, even if war is necessary, it is always wrong, it is always something to be ashamed of, and it always is a failure of peace. You know, the sacred principle of inclusion in the Church of Reality is that we're one planet, we're all here together, and we're going to have to get along with each other.
Right.
So,
we can. Hopefully one day maybe we can leave. But that's another question.
Well, yeah, maybe we can go off and explore other worlds. You know, someday. You know, if we don't, you know, let the extinctionists win.
Extinctionists. That's a very good point. Right. We're talking. Yeah.
Well, the extinctionists are those who, you know, believe in Armageddon and are trying everything they can to get us there.
Exactly.
That's a religious choice too. You know, and that's why the Church of Reality is a religion, because we choose evolution, and they choose extinction. And that's a distinction, you know. It creates, you know, and that's why it's important for reality to have a religionist, you know, because we can say, you know, we're evolutionists. We want to move forward. We want to explore reality. We want to continue to exist. Those are religious choices. You know, because out there in pure science, there is no such thing as right and wrong. You know, in pure science, you know, this is a dust ball. in the universe, and if it, you know, if we fall into the sun tomorrow, who cares? You know, we're just one of billions of planets that are being sucked up by black holes or whatever.
That's their argument.
But, but right and wrong comes from, you know, what we, you know, is our perspective as human beings. Basically, right and wrong is what it says, right and wrong for humans. So we assume that, you know, what's good for the human race is the thing that determines what's right and wrong. And the Church of Reality is reality from the perspective of humanity. So when it comes to some of those other things, you know, let's see, abortion, you know, we're pro-choice. Gay marriage, I've got an interesting take on that. I haven't, you know, really put it, but basically marriage is a fraud. You know, there's, you know, the definition of marriage is a lifelong commitment, and none of the state doesn't, you know, uphold the lifelong commitment part.
Right.
So I'm inclined not to have, you know, perform marriages at all.
Interesting.
And that way, I don't perform marriages to everybody equally, you know, so.
Yeah, I wish we could, it's so messed up. I really wish we could, you know, change that. I really wish that, I mean, if a couple, no matter what their sex is, if they want to dedicate themselves to each other, you know, that's a pact that they made between themselves, and if they need an entity to get involved to just make sure things are handled legally, that's fine. But yeah, this whole state thing, getting involved, and it's just ridiculous. It's just gone too far.
I've been through the court ringer, and I'm not sure that, you know, that giving, you know, having gay marriage is doing them a favor. I think that, you know, they have the advantage over straight people. You know, I think that if I were to make the rules, I would tighten up the definition of marriage to couples with children. But
really?
That's just my opinion. And my
but
opinion.
But why is that? Why is that?
Well, because, you know, that there's an aspect to, you know, family and reproduction. You know, we're all here because, you know, our parents reproduced, and there is an aspect that, you know, that's important, you know, to have, you know, generations, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So now, if you have a gay couple who have adopted,
right?
You know, that makes, you know, that fits the criteria, you know, but. But, you know, when it comes right down to it, that's one that I'm still confused about, you know, and I'm not going to, you know, take a, you know, basically, unless it's something that, you know, as far as the Church of Reality is that we're sure of, you know, I don't want to make a decision, you know, because, you know, I'd make a wrong decision.
Right, still investigating.
You know,
right.
Basically, yeah. Anything that isn't for sure, you know, we basically live out, you know, individual freedom is very important in the Church of Reality. So unless something is truly intrusive on somebody else's rights, all the questions that the last caller asked, basically the individual gets to make the choices in their own life. So if it involves individual choice, it's up to the individual to make that choice. You know, we think that freedom is extremely important because freedom creates a diversity of ideas, and a diversity of ideas is better for exploring reality than to have a monolithic culture. So we're not into dictating, you know, a lot of things that are right and wrong. You know, however, you know, I've basically, you know, issued a challenge to all Muslims to, you know, that stoning people to death is something that, you know, I'm declaring is absolutely wrong under all conditions, you know, in all societies whatsoever. You know, so, you know, that there's a moral certainty for you, and I'm asking the Muslim community, you know, religion and Islam in particular to, as a challenge to accept that stoning people to death is wrong.
Right.
And that's one of the functions of the Church of Reality, is to challenge other religions and what they believe in, you know, and say, you know, take a position on this, you know, take a position against stoning people to death, you know. I mean, how much better would the world be, you know, if you know, Islam gives up murder? I think the world would be a, you know, a far better
place.
See,
in the end, again, well, of course, well, you know, you're saying these are your opinions, but of course, then someone else could say, well, I think the world would be a much better place if, you know, if people were allowed to do whatever they wanted to do as far as having the same rights as ordinary people do, despite their sex or, you know,
well, as sexual long attraction as people are discussing
like
those ideas in terms
yeah.
of reality, then the Church of Reality is performing
yeah,
the function that exists
yeah.
for, because the Church of Reality yeah. is about getting people to discuss those things and to discuss them in terms of what's real.
Yeah, and some of these issues, you know, as you know, this is one thing I noticed that a lot of religious groups try to do, is like they try to claim they have this, like, monopoly on morality, and they just make a blanket statement you know, they just make a claim that's immoral. And it is, it just is, because they said it is. And they don't really investigate the various reasons, or, you know, why would it be immoral? You just can't say it is just because you believe it is and you're a good Christian. I mean, why is it? You know, and so, as you know, topics such as cryogenics can become a very moral issue. Even though, right as of now, I don't see it being an issue, but you better believe religious camps will, you know, other, I should say, again, traditional religious camps, will begin to talk about how those are moral issues there. Cloning, you know, hell, I was talking to someone who's involved in early reproductive rights for women a long time ago. Do you know that fundies, and I think some are probably still doing it today, but many fundamentalist Christians were actually protesting fertility clinics. And it became a moral issue all of a sudden. It's like, what? So, yeah, some issues, it isn't reality. You know, yeah, you got to look at real issues rather than, because some things just aren't on a blackboard. You can't point to it and say, ha, that's real. I mean, you know, as you know, you just, some issues you really have to just discuss them out.
Right, yeah. And the mission of the Church of Reality is to encourage those discussions to occur. In fact, interestingly enough, just yesterday, the Church of Reality of called, you know, Moral Certainty, you know, and it's on the website, where I actually address the issue of, you know, moral certainty, and mm-hmm. I look at, you know, whether or not, you know, these different religions offer moral certainty, and talk about moral certainty in regards to, from the perspective of the Church of Reality. Because if you, you know, Christians in general would say, well, if we believed, if the Bible were the law, then everything would be fine, you know. But as we know that the Bible has, you know, 10,000 different interpretations because there's 10,000 denominations. So nobody knows what the Bible means, or at least nobody can agree on what the Bible means, you know. So if there is no certainty as to what even the rules are, we can't even talk about whether or not it's moral or not, because we don't even know what we're talking about.
Christianity doesn't offer
moral certainty, because they don't even offer certainty. You know, they can't even describe what it is that they believe in. You know, the thing about Christianity is, if Christians got together and at least agreed on what Christianity is, you know, then we can look at it, you know, to see if it's real or not. But if we don't even know what it is, then we don't know if it's real, because, you know, you can't get to real before you get through is.
Right. Well, we got a caller just called in. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Mitch in New Orleans. I'm listening to the guest, and I'm actually fairly impressed with his ideas, although we may have some ways to go to make it work for everybody. My question is, how does one become a priest in the church?
Well, I don't actually know the answer to that question, because I haven't even officially, you know, done the paperwork to make myself a priest in this church. But I do have a process for, you know, in theory, is that we have a council of realists, which are three people, and, you know, if the council of realists consent to somebody becoming a priest, then they become a priest. And we will make you a priest if you come to us and give us a good reason that you should become a priest, you know, and it makes sense, we'll make you a priest. And hopefully there's people out there who have ideas, because, see, this is a community-based church. The Church of Reality is sort of structured like the Linux operating system. It's sort of like an open-source development-type religion.
Interesting.
And
I like that.
You know, we're looking for, you know, people to get involved as developers, you know, and help build this. It's in its infancy. It's got, you know, a long ways to go. And everybody who's listening can be part of making it happen.
Well, being a technology guy myself, something of a nerd, I appreciate what you're doing. I agree with the earlier caller. This almost seems like it's the Brights movement, but with a better name on it. If you want to give me a way to say it, I think you've done a pretty good job here of setting something up. Now we got to see what we can do with it.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot for the call.
There are similarities, and I am, you know, among other things, a marketing guy.
Oh, really?
And I used to, you know, own a software company and a couple computer stores, and, you know, I kind of got the advertising thing down pretty well. And so I picked a lot of the names and a lot of the language, you know, that I developed is developed with marketing in mind. The idea is to, you know, is to come up with a message that spreads.
Right. And that's very difficult to do. Yeah. Thinking of interesting, catchy phrases, but at the same time, being honest, you know, and open about it. Yeah, that can be very difficult.
Yeah, it's one thing, you know, to be, you know, open and honest, you know, but it's one thing, another thing to make open and honest interesting and catchy in certain ways.
Right.
And that's why I adopted some of the things, you know, that, you know, I steal holidays from other religions. You know, December 25th is a holiday in the Church of Reality. We celebrate Newton's birthday because Newton actually was born on December 25th. You see?
That's cool. That is so cool.
You know?
Wow.
And, you know, the solstices and equinoxes are sort of natural holidays where, you know, we, you know, take time off and we appreciate, you know, nature and sun and the earth that's orbiting, you know, the sun. And it's sort of like a, you know, ecological introspection, you see.
Right.
So, you know, I try to provide, you know, a lot of the same structures. And the more I develop it, the more I think about it, the more I talk to people, the more this stuff fits together. And at first, when I came up with the idea, you know, it was just sort of like, you know, a joke, you know, in a way. It was like, well, you know, Church of Reality, yeah, but what would that really be like, you know? And the more I thought about it and the more I worked on it, the more it was like, wow, you know, I can do this, you know, this works, you know, it all fits together, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, a religion is a belief system and reality is the ultimate belief system. So obviously, religion for reality must work by definition.
Yeah, I got some, we talked about terminology earlier and the wording and stuff like that. I mentioned this, I think, a couple of nights ago, and someone brought it to my attention that our terminologies, as it relates to the truth, are pretty negative. Terms such as stone-cold truth and stuff like that. We hear terms like that all the time. Why does the truth have to be such a dark, scary place? I was thinking, here's a new word for you, maybe. How about like, the beautiful, warm truth? That could be a new statement.
And in fact, you know, a lot of the terminology around the Church of Reality is gearing toward that. You know, we look at, you know, the future with wonderment, you know, and we can get excited about, you know, the, you know, reality the way it really is absolutely fascinating. You know, this is an exciting world to exist in.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
When you think about it, you know what we have here, you know, is absolutely amazing. And you know, when you start exploring, you know, the fact that, you know, there's 6 billion people on this planet, you know, and we're all linked together in this tree of knowledge, and we all share, you know, certain common technologies and languages, and you know, you look around, you know, I'm looking around at the stuff in my house, and I didn't make any of this stuff, you know, this was all made by other people, you know, in this vast society, and, you know, it's just... you know, it's just an amazing experience, you know, to start experiencing reality the way it really is. You know, it's a bit as much of a religious experience, you know, to get excited about reality as it is to get excited about fictional deities, you know, and other things that don't exist.
Interesting. 888-503-0802. You're listening to Live with the Infidel Guy and Mark Perkle, the founder of the Church of Reality. And you can, of course, visit the website at churchofreality.org. Interesting. He's compared it to like Linux, open source religion.
Yeah, Linus Torvalds is my hero. Linus Torvalds is a benevolent dictator, you know, who, you know, is a project manager, and he manages basically hundreds of thousands of people who all work together to create Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I strive to follow in his shoes. I would like to see the Church of Reality develop along the same lines as Linux, because reality is something that belongs to the people. You know, I mean, it's out there. I'm just a guy who comes up with the idea. You know, it's not all about me. It's all about reality. So it's an opportunity, you know. I just hope to, you know, be a good project manager to basically bring people together to work on this, you know, so that we can, you know, together create, you know, a very strong belief system based on what's real, marketplace of religious ideas.
You got a comment in the chat room. Someone says, "I like the way this guy thinks, though. We have all tried to argue with. And we says try to argue on theistic rules. He says, why not just go the whole way?" I find that rather interesting. We got a caller calling in here, but yeah, let me take this call. I got you a question about faith-based money. One second. Hello, you're on the air with the Infidel Guy and Mark Perkle. Go ahead.
Hi. You were talking earlier about basically marketing and wanting to get something that's, you know, truthful out and at the same time possibly attract interest.
Right.
One possibility would be to find out, once you get a nonprofit status and things like that, is to find out any schools that creationists are presenting information to the school board, and, you know, find out the date that they're presenting the information and go and present the Church of Reality's version of it.
Interesting. Well, and that's
what I'd like to, and I'd like to, you know, eventually ordain preachers, you know, to go out and speak at places and spread the word. Now, interestingly enough, a friend of mine in Portland, Oregon, had a stepdaughter who went to high school, and they were talking about different religions, and the teacher brought up the Church of Reality, and they debated whether or not the Church of Reality was a religion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I found that encouraging because, you know, it's already making it into the schools. People are talking about reality. And, you know, they weren't talking about reality in schools. They were only talking about religions before this. And now reality has become part of the discussion.
Be an interesting turnabout then, though, if creationists can argue that because you're teaching reality in the schools, you should also teach other faiths.
Oh, yeah, you got to teach the reality of our faith, and then it becomes subjective. In fact, that's one of the questions in the chat room. Someone's saying, is this, you know, subjective or objective? I mean, this is interesting. But yeah, thanks for the call, man.
Sure.
All right, bye.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping to see the day when Christians make that argument, because that will become the point where reality has, you know, gained enough awareness that people are starting to, you know, discuss it, you know, in terms of what can Christianity get away with because reality is getting away with it. I'd like to have that discussion.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because,
you know,
then at that point, I guess you can start, yeah, showing them, you know, which arguments are right and where the evidence lies. And
well,
stuff
like Christians
that.
Believe in gravity, and realists believe in gravity, but that doesn't make gravity a religious belief. You know, the things that we believe in that are actually real don't count against us as a belief system. It's only the fictional stuff. You know, in other words, if the Church of Reality has are subjective, you know, and those subjective aspects to the Church of Reality would be something that would be prohibited from being taught in schools because it is a religion. But if the objective parts of the Church of Reality, you know, is just part of reality, so it's science.
Mm-hmm.
So the part that's science is, you know, going to be taught in schools. You know, the part of, you know, about evangelizing reality
right. Is,
you know, something that is in the religious realm, and people have choice. You know,
right. People
have the right to choose not to believe in reality, and most of them have made that choice.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. If they deny the Church of Reality, it's kind of funny. It's like, well, you can't deny the Church of Reality because then you're denying reality. You deny reality? I'm just kidding. We got a caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Steve of Indy.
Hi, Steve.
I have a question for the guest tonight.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Well, my concern is, isn't he worried about how this is going to muddy the waters?
What do you mean?
As far as those people who already claim that atheism, secular humanism, and evolution are religions?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I guess that is something he'd bring up. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks.
And bye.
Well, atheism isn't a religion because atheism is about what you don't believe in and rather than what you do believe in.
Right.
Humanism isn't a religion. Humanism is a social model. You know, it's a model for society, but it's not a belief system. But both, you know, the roots of atheism and humanism is reality, because, you know, to be an atheist, you're basically stating that God isn't real, and to make that statement means that you believe in reality, because otherwise, you know, to be an atheist doesn't mean anything unless you're comparing it to, you know, the reality of God.
Wow.
So to say that God doesn't exist is to say that reality does exist, you know. So atheism is based on reality. And basically I'm treating, and I embrace, you know, those things, you know. I mean, I try to get, you know, of course atheists aren't joiners, you know, but I'm trying to get atheists excited about the Church of Reality because it fills in all the gaps. Because when an atheist debates a Christian and, you know, it comes to the question, well, what do you believe in? You know, the atheist is, you know, babbling, you know. It's like, well, you know, but God isn't real, you know. Well, what is, you know? You know, so the Church of Reality, you know, completes, at least that's the purpose of it, you know, to complete those things, you know, so that, you know, the stuff that they challenge us on, you know, I hear
exactly.
those challenges, and I say, well, we should be able to answer that, you know. If we are, you know, believe in reality, then there should be an answer to that, and I'm going to come up with a solution. You know, help, you know, get other people to help come up with a solution so that we can answer some of those challenges, you know, and address legitimate issues that people of faith bring up.
Okay, that's a pretty good point. Someone apparently has been to your website. He says that your site talks about the evolution of the human species. He says, is evolution faster, more efficient through conflict or cooperation?
The human race is evolving through cooperation. We are evolving through the tree of knowledge, you know, where our physical evolution isn't changing much at this point, although we're probably at the precipice of taking control of our own evolution, because with genetic engineering,
that's right.
You know, we're on the verge of being able to manufacture people from scratch, and we're not limited, you know, to just copying people. We can make them, you know, better, faster, smarter.
I mean, so basically, conflict is what got us here, but cooperation is what keeps us here. Pretty much.
Well, yeah. Well, we don't have a choice on the cooperation. You know, you
right.
stick, you know, the average person out on an island, you know, with no resources, and they're dead within a week.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, when it comes right down to it, like I said, we're like a hive of bees. We are totally interconnected. So, and we're evolving through technology, you know. 300 years ago, humans couldn't fly. Now humans fly all the time. How do we fly? We build airplanes, you know. Why can we build airplanes now and we can't then? Because we have evolved technologically. And because of that, we live twice as long as we used to. You know, people used to die of infections, you know, and now we just take a pill, you know, and it goes away.
That's right.
You know, if somebody cuts their arm off, we sew it back on. You know, it's amazing the stuff that we can do, and that's what's, you know, exciting about reality. You know, reality is something to be excited about, because when you look at all the stuff that we can do, this is really cool. The fact that I'm talking to, you know, hundreds of people right now, you know,
right.
thousands or who knows how many people, you know, and thousands of people see my website, that's almost miraculous, you know, that we have the technology to be able to do that.
That's
you know, so,
true, right.
You know, reality is an exciting place.
Someone says, isn't believing in reality just the same as believing in science?
No, because reality means that you've made the choice, you know, to evangelize reality. You're making reality part of your life, you know. You're using it as your religious identity. You know, to be a realist is a religious choice. Science is sort of like the practice of discovering reality. The Church of Reality is the commitment to make to that practice.
So one is sort of like the decision,
and the other one is the doing.
Adequate separation makes sense. Okay, what about, I guess one of my final questions here, I guess it's kind of humorous here. Faith-based money. are you going to try to apply for some of those faith-based funds when you get everything settled?
Well, it'll be something that's on the table for sure. I don't know, you know, what the future will bring. There's part of me that's afraid of it, you know, because I think that, you know, churches shouldn't get money from the government on one hand. On the other hand, I think that, you know, if the rest of them are doing it, I need to be competitive. So I have, you know, and quite frankly, I kind of doubt that anybody's going to, you know, give reality money, you know, from the government these days, unless we have a different government.
Yeah,
but there
true.
Is a political aspect to it, is that we think that, you know, at least I think that you know, reality will bring the world back to realism, and when the world comes back to realism, we're going to be electing different people. We're going to be electing people who talk about reality, and we're going to be electing people, you know, who do, you know, make decisions based on reality. And that's not happening now, and I think that it's important for, you know, Church of Reality to spread, you know, from the purpose of undermining the political, you know, situation in America, you know, that is basically taking us on the path of destruction.
That's true. It's a very good point. Well, Mark, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate you appearing on a program this evening to talk about the Church of Reality and try to. I mean, it sounds interesting. It'd be neat. You know, it'd be like, you know, I don't know, High Priest Church of Reality or something, a little logo on a website or something. You know, I think that'd be pretty interesting.
Well,
but,
the thing is that you know, everybody should go to the website and explore it because I have, you know, literally. You know, hundreds of web pages that go into all kinds of details of things that a lot of people have never thought of before. And if you're interested in reality, you're going to want to read the entire website, which will take you about a week. You know, there's that much material. But this is far more detailed and far more in-depth than I think that anybody has ever taken it before, and it's going to continue to grow. And, you know, people out there can be part of it. You know, you can get in on the ground floor and, you know, you come up with a good idea, you know, and it makes sense. It's part of the church.
Yeah,
everybody gets to participate.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot to read. So, yeah, definitely before I make up my mind, I guess I'll have to go to the website. But the name itself is so catchy.
It is.
Yeah, it is a very catchy name, the Church of Reality. I really like that.
And it means what it says. You know, it's all about reality. It's not about me. It's not about my ego. It's not about anything but reality the way it really is.
Excellent.
And, you know, anybody can be part of it. And if somebody comes along, you know, who can do my job better than I'm doing, you know, and can, you know, write better or lead better or whatever, that would be great, you know. I mean, I'd like to go back to writing software and filtering spam and all the stuff I used to do, you know. You know, so I'm looking for people to help out. I'm looking for people to, you know, make reality part of their lives, you know, and to spread the word, you know, and to bring reality back to the world and so that we all can live in peace and move, you know, into a better future, a better tomorrow. We make the kind of tough decisions today that is going to make sure that the future is better than it is today.
Excellent. Well, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it right here. Mark Perkel of churchofreality.org. So make sure you go and check that out, read through it, and let me know what you think about it. You can always shoot me an email through the feedback form on the front page at infidelguide.com. I guess that's it. Stick around and chat, as Brian37 just mentioned in the chat room. And, hey, if you want to come over, we got 46 people in the chat room right now. I don't know if you want to answer a few more last-minute questions or hang out with us, but feel free to come by.
Can I get in without having a membership?
Yep, it's free.
Okay.
Yep, just go and check it out.
I'll probably give it a try then.
Okay, excellent. Yep, because they're all
in
there.
Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Your guests are great. You know, your audience is a great audience. They ask really good questions, you know, and things that, you know, that causes me to think.
That's good. They do it to me all the time. I hate them. Just kidding. All right. I'll see you later. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's 9:12. Went a little over, but I think we had to make up because we had the technical difficulties early on. That's okay. We still did it. We moved on. And, wow, that name is just so cool. I kind of wish I would have thought of it first. Church or Reality. You know, many of us try to stay away from terms such as church, you know, faith, beliefs. But in many ways, we do possess faith and belief in some things. We don't want to admit we do. But some of us, we have to go through it because there are so many uncertainties in our lives. And we really don't know everything. And I was interested that he actually admitted that it really is a belief system for him. And that I think that's important that he admitted that. And he can admit that because it's not a negative position he's taking. He's taking a very positive position. I think that's admirable. Trying to do something he thinks will make the world a better place. Many of us would shy away from terms such as church. But he just might be onto something here. Well, alright guys, thanks a lot for listening. I really appreciate it. I'll see you guys another time. Have a very, very good night. In reason.